This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at sevilletomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Talk a little growth development and local politics. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Doing well. Good to be here.
You know what? I rented a movie recently. And everybody was talking about it, made a lot of news, little film called Slumdog Millionaire.
I just queued that up in Netflix. We have not received it yet.
You're the Netflix guy, aren't you?
Yes.
What does that mean, you queued it up?
We have a queue.
Okay. I know what a queue is. I'm not British, but I do know what a queue is.
We go to the website.
Yes.
And you just click on a movie and you say, add to my queue. And then, and so it gets in the rotation.
Oh.
So as we return movies, you know, the queue gets worked through.
I see.
Now, my challenge is my kids go in and reorganize the queue when I'm not looking. So Slumdog Millionaires may be...
So stuff comes in the mail and you're like, wait a minute.
Maybe years away from me.
This was way down the list. How did this get bumped
up? I know
up?
I clicked on it. I just don't know when I'm going to see it.
I will say...
It was good?
Everything everybody said it was. It was a fantastic movie. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. Great story. But here's the kicker. I did not know until I was watching the credits at the end. And it's one of those movies where you sort of want to watch the credits. I didn't know that it was based on a novel called Q&A. All that talk about the Oscar and the best movie and, oh, it's Slumdog Millionaire is so amazing. Never once did I ever hear that this was actually based on a novel. Which, of course, as a writer... That's what interested me more. Oh, this was a book.
Now, had you known that, would you have gone out and gotten the book first?
Yes.
You would have.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I usually try to do that to see the creator's version first versus the ripoff.
It's funny. My daughter is a junior out of Western Albemarle, so she's reading all the great works of literature. So she just read The Great Gatsby.
Good for her. Yeah.
And she's very good about this. She reads the book. It devours these books first, and then
good.
We'll rent the movie.
That's the rule at our
but
house.
But it's so fun sitting with her watching these movies because she just critiques them to no end and gives you a whole different opinion of because I don't – I mean, I remember I read The Great Gatsby, but it's been a while. So
high school book, right?
Yeah, in high school. So it's good to have Abby's fresh eyes on the
– Yeah, so when she saw The Great Gatsby, the
Great
movie.
Great Gatsby. Yeah.
Well, who was that guy that was in that? What's his name?
Robert Redford.
Robert Redford.
Sure.
And
there's some other people whose
that
names
woman,
I don't...
That married the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was it. The woman who married the guy. The guy with glasses who
Woody
slept with his daughter.
Woody Allen. Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Slept with his adopted daughter. Married his adopted daughter or her adopted daughter. Mia Farrow.
That's the one.
There you go.
Where's Hawes Spencer when we need him?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I applaud her decision to read the books first. That's very bright, and that's a good deal. Brian, we want to talk about this new movie theater. This is a huge deal. We're going to take a quick break before we do it, find out what's going on tonight on Best Seat in the House. Very quick break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about this movie theater. Everybody's talking about it.
The drive-through theater?
The drive-through. The drive-through movie theater. Could be a drive-through movie theater because last I heard, they were supposed to build a road through that movie theater. Now they're talking about fixing it up.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We will do that right when we get back. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at sevilletomorrow.org, joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Talk a little growth and development. So this story about this movie theater, everybody's talking about it. This we want to point out as well that Charlottesville Tomorrow actually broke this story last week. And the real headline, though, people seem to miss at first.
Well, we broke an aspect of the story. We didn't break the news they were upgrading the theater.
Right.
So we're in the office on Friday. Now that we're Twittering and Facebooking, you know, we're watching all these social networking sites.
You're a new media guru.
We are. We're quick learners. So all the local mainstream media are Twittering their stories now. So we're watching the TV stations Twitter about this because Regal Cinemas sent out a press release saying, hey, we've got Cinema 4 in Charlottesville. We're going to do a major upgrade, stadium seating.
Nine theaters.
It'll upgrade to nine theaters. So I guess they're adding four or five.
Digital films, all new sound systems.
Right. Now, of course.
New popcorn. It's going to be
sweet. I never leave Charlottesville, I don't know what I'm missing. But based on the social networking assessment of this upgrade, everyone's very excited about this.
Yeah, yeah.
But what struck us was it was sort of like deer in the headlights, because my first thought was about you, Coy.
Of course.
Because I thought, darn, I'm going to be on the radio on Tuesday, and Coy's going to say, Brian, you told me a road was going through that.
Yeah, theater. Absolutely. That's what we heard. They're going to tear down the Terrace Triple.
Well, who told you?
They did.
I told you that.
You told us that. That's like a year ago.
I busted into that meeting that I wasn't invited to. Remember that? That was the whole controversy where the city was having this Hillsdale Drive steering committee meeting. And I just sort of showed up and said, hey, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're not sure you should be here. And they actually had to take a vote as to whether or not I could stay or not. So they voted.
And that was last year, wasn't it?
I think that was 2007.
So 2 years ago, we were told that they were going to tear down the Seminole Four, this very movie theater that we're all talking about.
And I guess the right way to put it is that eventually they would have to acquire that property to put in Hillsdale Drive.
Yeah.
So Hillsdale Drive would connect. Right now it goes behind Toys R Us, by the Food Lion, by the Senior Center, Pepsi Place.
Up in front of Our Lady of Peace, all those places up there.
That's right. Yeah. And it goes over to Rio Road. So if you started at Rio, you come down Hillsdale, you pass all those things, and then it stops
at the Senior Center. You dead end at the Senior Center.
It stops because you run into the post office. That's the back of the post office.
Yeah, and it runs right into the Senior Center. You take a right, and you turn up to Greenbrier.
Yes, but if you keep going, you run into the post office.
The Pepsi and the post office.
Right. So the idea behind Hillsdale Drive is to keep going and create this parallel road along 29, take some of the traffic off of 29.
Yeah.
And
that would be a great road.
Yeah. I mean, if I was going up 29 north to one of those stores, like the Giant Shop, you know, the Giant grocery store there, Downtown Athletic, all those types of places.
Yeah.
Why would you get on 29? If you're in downtown Charlottesville, you'd take Hydraulic to Hillsdale and you'd be there.
Yeah.
So that's the theory, this parallel road. And it would continue through the Seminole Shopping Center. There would even be a roundabout in the middle of the shopping center where there's currently
in front of the Giant.
In front of the Giant.
Yeah.
And then it would keep on going around, that's where we start running into more buildings.
Yeah.
So then you
basically
run.
It's going to go through like Tiffany Seafood the pet store.
Yep, it's going to go through the seafood, unless they also decide to upgrade, I guess, and put in an aquarium
with stadium seating.
It might be a problem. Hope they're not listening. But then you get over past Giant Food and all that. That's when you hit Cinema 4. Now, on the other side of the Cinema 4 was the Terrace Triple. And as we said, you know, that was going to be torn down. It has been torn down.
It has been totally razed.
Because they're getting ready for the Whole Foods, which was originally going to be back over at Albemarle Place. They left Albemarle Place. Now they're building in the city. And in fact, the city sent out a press release today saying that project was going to have a design review meeting later this month.
Ooh.
So the Whole Foods is moving along.
So we'll get to see it. And that has its own parking garage, and it'll sit facing the Kmart.
Facing the Kmart and Gold's Gym. So the Terrace Triple was sort of moved. The Whole Foods project is coming along. And as part of Whole Foods, they are saying, okay, we agree to build the part of Hillsdale Drive that's going to be right in front of our store.
That goes into Hydraulic.
Right. And the light, which is currently in front of the Kmart and the Kroger, will be moved down to where Hillsdale Drive is.
Right.
And anyway.
So you'd be able to take a right there and go to the Whole Foods, right, or continue on up into in front of the Giant Shopping Center. And
so our story on Friday was to connect the dots for folks and say, hey, listen, we know you're all excited about stadium seating, whatever that is.
It's pretty sweet.
But we just want to point out
that it means bigger screens.
That building was supposed to be torn down.
Yeah, that was the whole point,
and
right?
And so I called up, you know, the Regal guy puts his name and number on the press release, so I called him. And I said, hey, did you know there's supposed to be a road called Hillsdale Drive going through that building?
Did he start his response with a
There was a long pause. And then I could tell he was ready for this question. And but I don't think he'd been asked it before. He said, we're aware that there was talk of a road either near or on our property.
I love it.
We are unaware of where that project stands with respect to location, timeline, and approvals.
And money.
Now, you know, the Regal Cinema folks were quoted back when we did that original story in 2007, I think it was, that they said they acknowledged the road was going to have to go through their building, and they were prepared for that. I think since then, what's happened is they've made a business decision, go ahead and do the upgrade, and
have Charlottesville's best movie theater.
because they probably figure this road is not going to be built anytime soon. That was something else we pointed out in our story, was that right now funding for this project has been put off till at least 2015.
Oh, my gosh. At least
2015.
Yeah, they don't have money for that
road. We've talked a lot about state funding for these kinds of roads.
It would be a great road, but there's no money for it anytime soon.
And it's a $30 million road.
Ouch.
$30.5 million.
So what are we going to have, a nice new entrance to the Whole Foods?
That much is certain. And then after that, you know, so I called the city. I said to the city representatives, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
It was the first they'd heard.
Oh, gosh.
First they had heard that this building was being upgraded.
When you called them.
When I called them. And they said, you know, we thought that was going to be a dilapidated theater. And, you know, basically, i.e., when we went to go do the right-of-way acquisition, it wasn't going to be hard. And now that this project's on the table, they need to think about what is there a win-win solution? And the city person that I talked to really wants a win-win to come out of this.
Yeah.
And I think the property owners acknowledge that they'd like to find that too. So right now, the plan they put on paper clearly is not compatible with the Hillsdale Drive, but maybe things can get better. They could rearrange what they want to do on that property, and maybe it can be a win-win, and it can be a great theater on a new Hillsdale Drive.
Which would be ideal, that we have a brand new big movie theater with all sorts of great stuff.
I would think they would like that. I mean, you saw how much attention Lee Danielson put to having a road pass in front of his theater on the downtown mall in Charlottesville.
Indeed, the Second Street Crossing, yeah.
So a lot of effort went into that to have an easy drop-off, pick-up spot right there. And that's something you would get out of having, you know, a better Hillsdale Drive.
It's got to be something that the movie theater people are thinking about as they're sitting around the board table is, hey, this community wants to build a brand new major road right past our movie theater. Why would we let them tear it down? Let's just make it a big, nice new movie theater. And they've got to, you know, work with us. We'd like to be on a big new main road.
Right. Well, you say let them tear it down. It's private property. So the Virginia Department of Transportation would have to go through the right-of-way acquisition process.
The whole eminent domain thing.
Any offer they make, if the theater is upgraded as currently proposed, it's going to cost them more to build Hillsdale Drive.
So it's not a $30 million road anymore. It's a $40 million road.
So again, I mean, my hope in connecting the dots here and getting the conversation going early and making sure city and the applicant are both aware of, you know, this potential roadblock is that, you know, something better can come out of it.
So at this point, chances are we're not going to see this road anytime soon, but we are going to be able to enjoy a nice new movie theater probably sooner rather than later.
Well, we do know that in the fall of this year, city staff are planning on having a big public design hearing about the Hillsdale Drive and where we are with that project. And again, that was the plan as it was. And so now I'm sure the city and Regal Cinemas will be talking about what the plan might be.
Could the city, because this is city property, right?
No, this is private property.
No, I mean, this is, where is the movie
project.
Theater? Where's the movie theater?
Within
though?
The city of Charlottesville.
Okay, so could the city say, no, we're not going to let you upgrade because we want to tear you down and build a road where you...
When I spoke to Angela Tucker on city staff, she's not in the department that reviews site plans. So she's more on the transportation side. I asked her that question. She didn't, was not comfortable answering it, which I understand.
Sure.
So I've not asked city staff about that. But yes, there are going to be some potential obstacles if they're putting more use on that spot. Then one of the questions that often comes up in the county, I know, is how many parking spaces are there? Is there adequate parking for the proposed use? So the city staff will look at that. There may be some other things. So maybe if the city really wanted to, you know, give them some instructions about what they're willing to consider.
Because the city could play hardball on this.
They could.
If they wanted to.
I don't know how much latitude they have.
But they also, like you say, there's people in the city and lots of folks in the community who would like to see this big new movie theater.
Yes, and people on both Waldo Jakewith's Seville News have been talking about it. A few comments on our news center as well, and that's very much the sentiment of all the people commenting in the blogosphere.
Yeah,
finally we get stadium.
Don't stand
seating
in the way of this.
Right.
Absolutely. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville. Tomorrow, a break for local news, weather, and a traffic update. When we get back, let's talk about the future of Belmont. Is it getting too busy, or are the neighbors ticked off? We'll find out. Plus, we've got a whole lot of quick updates on local development projects for you. Coming up, Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. online at SeavilleTomorrow.org, joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Talk a little growth, development, and politics. What is going on in Belmont besides escalating property values despite the economy?
Well, there is a new restaurant that a homeowner would like to build.
Yeah, a homeowner?
In his home.
What? That's like the old days.
Well, he is right on the edge of the commercial development in Belmont. You know where that barbecue place is?
I think so, yeah.
The new one. It's called, what's it called? It's Belmont Barbecue.
It's old Belmont, like downtown Belmont, right?
Yeah, Hinton, yeah. Hinton Avenue. And Belmont Barbecue is there. Small building. There's also the new restaurant, The Local, which is right next to the barbecue place.
Okay.
So if you're at The Local, the next one up Hinton Avenue is Belmont Barbecue, and then is Andrew Ewell's home. And he has come to the City Planning Commission and said he wants to open a French restaurant, French Creole.
In his house?
In the house. Well, they would renovate it, turn it into a restaurant.
Yeah.
So he wants to get rezoned, his property rezoned from residential to commercial.
So this is the same thing that happened to Elliewood Avenue in the 60s and 70s. When all those boarding houses and rooming houses turned into restaurants and businesses up at the UVA corner.
And forced out. I mean, I guess at the very end, there are still some residential units, right? I think so.
Like apartments.
Yeah.
There may be some.
But that's more like student housing.
But the last house, John Freeman, the painter, he died a few years ago. That was the last just house on Elliewood Avenue. And that quickly became a restaurant after he passed away.
Blue Wheel Bike Shop was back there for a long time.
It was. Used to be Back Alley Disc back in the day.
Where I bought my first bike as a college
student. Was it really?
Did you? Well, not my childhood bike.
Not your first
My bike. First mountain bike.
Yeah. First real bike.
My first serious bike.
Back when mountain bikes
were. I'm still riding it.
That bike?
Yeah.
Get
I
out.
Keep taking it back to Blue Wheel. I keep fixing it. And I keep thinking they're going to say, well, you really ought to buy a new one. They keep fixing it up.
So what?
Anyway, Southern Crescent is the name of this family-owned casual fine dining establishment.
Okay.
49 seats.
Is he a chef or something?
I don't really know the background on that. But this is 1923 Belmont home that he would like, again, moved into the commercial district. And so what this application has done is gotten everyone's attention who lives in Belmont. As you said, the property values are going up. Lots of restaurants there. So I think parking and noise have become two issues for Belmont residents. They had a town hall meeting recently in the neighborhood, and we did not cover that, but I know WINA was there, I believe. And they talked about some of their concerns about the traffic and the parking. And, you know, at this Planning Commission meeting, residents said, you know, what's going to happen if there's a smoking ban in restaurants and everyone's then outside smoking? And, you know, the wafting of smoke, you know, throughout the residential neighborhood. So concerns down to that level. You know, it's not just the parking, but it's the noise. It's the what is this doing to our neighborhood?
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of people who don't live there now love going there. That's also clear.
Yeah.
And going to the restaurants like Moss and places like that. So this resident has said, you know, listen, I live in a house that when I moved in here and bought this house, the Belmont Barbecue was not there. Now it is, and I can reach over my fence, you know, and touch that building, you know, next to me, and that's a commercial building.
Oh, he's close, yeah.
And he is saying, let's add my restaurant in. It's going to be family friendly. We will not have amplified music. He's promised to not do that. And he's also proffered that he will create a buffer around the rest of his property so that it sort of sets, you know, it sort of moves the boundary, moves that edge in Belmont now to include his house. He builds a new buffer. I guess one of the questions is what will stop, you know, the next house from being added?
Sure, sure.
And say, hey, we're the next in line. Why can't we do it?
Yeah.
That's the debate that's going on at
the... Well, the city faced the same thing back in the 70s when developers wanted to do to Chancellor Street what they had done to Elliewood Avenue. They wanted to continue... Chancellor Street is the next street up towards the rotunda from the corner.
Oh, right, right.
So it's right where the bank is. If you take it right there, that's Chancellor Street.
Sorority houses are up there.
Exactly. And they wanted to take those homes back in the 70s before they became sorority houses and turn them into restaurants and nice places. And they wanted to spread the corner further up University Avenue.
That's right. And we didn't have women at the university back then, so we didn't need sorority houses.
And they fought it. The locals fought it and said that corner is big enough and we don't want a whole nother street of commercial activity so close to the rotunda. Hmm. And they successfully stopped the expansion of the corner. That was back in the 70s.
Well, Dan Rosenzweig on the Planning Commission said, quote, "I believe the commercial activity that has arisen since 2000 there in Belmont has made that stretch of Belmont a safer place." So that was another thing that came up, is that is the neighborhood getting better? And would this, you know, further that purpose? So the Planning Commission, the applicant ended up requesting a deferral, didn't quite have his proposal together for a buffer. He has since put that on paper, sent out a letter to all the residents of Belmont, and is asking for the neighborhood to come support him with this project, given the proffers they've made about amplified music and the buffer and parking. They've signed an agreement with a nearby business to have some of the parking be at that site at Fitzgerald Tire. So it's an interesting development. We've got a couple stories about that up on our news center. If you just Google Belmont, Charlottesville Tomorrow, you will find them.
There you go. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth development. Let's take a very quick break. When we get back, the future of the trees on the downtown mall. Is that what we're talking about?
Trees in the city in general.
Trees all over the city. We've also got hydraulic and Rio interchanges. Tom Perriello brings money to Central Virginia for a new trail. And extending Leonard Sandridge Road, a possibility, all that coming up. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. What's all this about trees?
Well, Coy.
How's that for a lead-in?
City Council, when I followed them to Stanton.
I remember that.
Last year. One of the ideas they left Stanton with was place a higher priority on increasing the tree canopy in the city of Charlottesville.
More so trees.
Make a greener Charlottesville.
Okay.
Dave Norris, who's running for re-election, of course, for city council. There's a candidate forum, by the way, tomorrow night. And then the Democratic Unassembled Caucus is this Saturday.
Ooh, so that's this weekend.
If you're a city voter, that is this coming Saturday. You can vote for city council. And the sheriff's race is the other contested race. So anyway, Dave Norris, who's running, had a media event several weeks ago announcing one of his initiatives for his campaign, which was a greener Charlottesville. And one of the top things he wants to do is increase the tree canopy from what he said was 32% based on a survey they did last year to 40%. So my understanding of that, Coy, is if you took the city of Charlottesville on a map, and you figure out how much of it has a tree canopy.
Yeah.
Geographically, 32% today is the number. Mayor Norris and the rest of city council have put a priority on getting that number higher. 40% is the number they've picked. So this is an old story, but the new twist on it is that I ran into a member of city council of city staff who said, because I was asking about this.
Where'd you run into the grocery store? Where'd you run into
it? I was just walking around the mall.
Okay.
And Dave Norris expressed frustration at his press conference. He was like, Brian, you know, because I asked him, I said, you talked about this in Stanton. And, you know, where are you with it? Because you were expecting this report on this urban forestry management plan.
Okay.
And Dave Norris said he was, quote, frankly, a little frustrated that they have been, you know, talking and no action, basically. So I followed up with the city staff member. I said, hey, you got your mayor frustrated that this plan has not been delivered. Where's the plan?
I'll not have my mayor frustrated.
And the staff member said, well, the plan is on the way to council. And one of the things it's going to identify is the fact that we've already crossed the threshold. We're already at 40%. So I guess what
did they miscount?
Well, apparently they're
makes you question that 32% number.
They're using better software is what I was told.
So do they need to go back to the drawing board and say, well, we really meant 50?
And now I guess they're going to pick a new goal. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Mayor Norris will say about this. I guess he can check off that there's one even before he's elected. I've already accomplished that. Anyway, so the staff's helping him out on that goal.
There you go. All right, Hydraulic Road and Rio Road. What's going on with these big interchanges?
Well, what's interesting about this, Coy, is, and we won't have time to get into the details too much, but as you know, there's a priority list of what road projects we're going to do in this community. This particular
assuming list, we had money to do them.
Assuming this is our wish list.
Yeah.
Our dream list, maybe is a better
Santa.
Word. And this is called the 2035 list. Anyway, that's the year for which it's planning.
Won't we have flying cars by then anyway?
It's interesting because the city and county leaders keep ping-ponging which grade-separated interchange should come first on 29 North. Now, I heard on the news tonight, accident up at Ashcroft Road, Ashcroft Boulevard,
yeah.
and 29 North. That's a Forest Lake South. That is an example of an intersection proposed to get grade separation.
Really? I didn't know that. That's the first I've heard of that.
Even that one.
That was where that little girl died.
Where Sidney Ikes was killed.
Yes. Yeah.
So even that, there are five or six of these along 29 that's part of that whole Places 29 master plan.
Where they want to make bridges.
Right. But the two big ones are at Rio and Hydraulic.
Yeah.
And those are the two that keep ping-ponging back and forth as to which one should come first. And so there's been some discussion about that. And
Hydraulic.
You think Hydraulic?
Yeah.
How come?
It's a no-brainer. Hydraulic. You know why?
Tell me.
Albemarle Place.
Yes.
Because they're going to build this huge new shopping center right there at that intersection. If there's any place you need an improvement in the traffic flow, it's going to be next to this massive new mall. Now, mm-hmm. There's no plans to build a new mall up at Rio Road,
yep.
last time I checked.
Yep.
So that can wait.
Aren't they putting in a new theater near there?
Actually, the new theater is closer to the Hydraulic one.
Actually, Albemarle Place is proposed to have a new theater, too, at some point.
Oh, no kidding. I hadn't heard about that.
Yes, but anyway.
Do tell.
Well,
I hadn't heard anything about this.
All I know is, Coy, there was a box on one of the old Albemarle Place plans that said...
Oh, Albemarle Place.
Theater.
I thought you said Albemarle Square.
No, Albemarle Place.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, the City Planning Commission would agree with you, Coy. They said...
Good for them.
Move Hydraulic up the list. That's the one that should come first.
Yeah.
City councilors, however, have said, no... Let's move Rio up first.
On what grounds?
Well, I think in part because there are three corners of the Hydraulic interchange in the city. So that one directly impacts the city, and not everyone thinks in a good way. Grade separation is a controversial prospect.
The business owners along 29 don't like this idea.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
Everybody sitting in traffic loves this idea.
Others have said, let's go up to Rio. Anyway... Yeah. One of the interesting things that came out of that whole prioritizing discussion, and we'll just leave that conversation there for now as far as the grade separation.
Sure.
But Dennis Rooker said, there's something else in this plan that I think we ought to eliminate. And apparently sitting in that plan was a $672,000 study to evaluate extending the Leonard Sandridge Road to Hydraulic and Georgetown or Barracks Road. So... Along the path of the Western Bypass, basically.
Okay. So that would be a grade separate interchange?
Well...
Leonard Sandridge Road would have a bridge going over the bypass?
Yes, and that was one of the original ideas as far as how do you tie in the Western Bypass to the 29-250 bypass. It was with big interchanges.
Yeah.
And the Southern Environmental Law Center did a little visual of what that would look like at St. Anne's Belfield.
Oh my gosh, this looks like the mixing bowl in Northern Virginia.
Well, it did. And,
Look at this.
That got people's attention.
What a mess.
But there you can see the Leonard Sandridge Road passing over the 29-250 bypass.
Passing over four lanes of traffic.
And continuing on. But anyway, Dennis Rooker didn't like the idea that one was still
on. We don't have the money for the roads
paper.
Or the study.
Well,
let's be honest.
Yes. Well, here's what Mr. Rooker said. That I think to salvage some value out of the right-of-way, i.e. we could sell the right-of-way for the Western Bypass, get some money back. He's saying apply those funds to other projects like Berkmar Drive Extended, Georgetown Road.
That's smart.
Knowing that, quote, the state is unlikely to ever have $300 million that they're going to want to put into the Western Bypass project.
Yeah, they're not going to afford to build
that. So Mr. Rooker took the opportunity to torpedo the extension of the Leonard Sandridge Road. You heard it here first.
What's this about Tom Perriello coming up with some money?
Oh, I didn't know about this till I walked in the studio today. I always open up the Seaville Weekly, and today's Seaville Weekly says an earmark could be coming. It has not been approved yet. It doesn't appear. But Tom Perriello has asked the House Appropriations Committee to earmark $4.36 million for a rail-to-trail project. This is the Blue Ridge Tunnel.
Ooh, and
on the show,
the historic Crozet Tunnel.
Crozet Tunnel, which goes through Afton Mountain.
Which you've seen, right?
I have seen both ends of that. And recently, my son and I walked to the end on the Afton side. We tried to find the end on the other side, and were not successful. We were crawling through the woods and couldn't find it. But we did find the Afton end. And anyway, I think that's pretty exciting. Imagine if it was also a bike trail, and you could bike.
Very cool. So this would be a trails from where to where, though? Connecting what and what? I mean, obviously, it's going to go through the mountains, which is
I guess
pretty amazing.
Waynesboro and Crozet. I mean, I don't know how far the trail would go, but certainly opening that up, it makes it a big attraction for people. People would really want to walk through that. When it was built, it's 4,300 feet long. It was the longest tunnel in the world.
Holy cow, really?
When it was built.
What was it, 1850s, right?
1858, good.
Yeah.
And that's when it opened. And Coy, when they built it, according to this article, when they had to meet in the middle, and this is in the 1850s,
yeah,
they were inches apart.
Isn't that amazing? In the 1850s.
And then
they didn't have GPS or nothing.
In the 1940s, when they built the new
tunnel.
They
had some guys with shovels banging on rocks. Are you there?
Apparently, they weren't that close in the 1940s when they built the new tunnel that's currently in use.
Wow.
They had to.
With all their highfalutin, nice equipment.
So anyway, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
We'll keep an eye on that one.
Tracking that story. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.